Welcome to church today. Well, it is a wonderful thing that we can worship our Lord together. I think a few years have passed since COVID and sometimes we forget about that. But it is a real special blessing that we get together and worship our God. Now, we will worship Him together in song and we will worship Him by revering Him in our hearts as we listen to His word together as well. Now, to help us prepare our hearts for worship, let's sing this first song together. As we sing, let's put our distractions away and let's turn our eyes to Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer. Please stand and sing with us.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the
Jesus, the one who came, the one who died, who rose from the dead, and who is coming again to restore all things to glorious perfection. This is wonderful news to us, Lord, so we lift up our hearts and sing.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, bound through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace.
So we can sing
us from the valley of temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you reign, and here we stand victorious in your name. Together we pray. Oh, Father, hallowed be your name. Forever our God be exalted. Your kingdom come, and in us let your will be done. Our Father, yours is the kingdom and power and glory, God of authority, Ancient of Days. Yours is the wisdom and honor forever and always. And always, declare this, yours is the
Thank you for being here, and thank you for singing along with us. Now, if you're new or visiting today, we are aiming to memorize scripture together as a church, and we call this scripture at Subi. Now, for the month of February, we have been learning this verse from Psalm 3. You'll see it up on the screen, so please join us as we say it aloud together. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Indeed, he is. Well, primary school kids, you're now welcome to go to your classes upstairs. For everyone else, why don't you say hello to someone sitting around you before you have a seat?
Hello. Hi, good evening. My name is Kanina. Before Pastor David's sermon today, we will read some scripture on the Great Commission, taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. If you're able, I invite you to stand with me as we read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You may now take a seat.
This man, Mr. Guo, had his two-year-old son snatched by human traffickers outside their home in East China. It was 1997, every parent's worst nightmare. This 51-year-old farmer dropped everything and started to look for his son. Now that's an optimistic mission, don't you think? China's a big place, if you hadn't noticed, 1.4 billion people, that's a lot of people. Where would you start looking? Well, Mr. Guo broke China down into its 34 provinces and regions and then systematically searched for his son on the back of his motorbike. He traveled over 500,000 kilometers. He wore out 10 motorcycles. On one occasion, he was blown off the road in a rainstorm and narrowly missed being blown off a cliff riding his bike. He printed his son's photo on a flag, as you can see on the back of the bike, and amongst other things, it said this: "Where are you, my son? Daddy will take you home." Mr. Guo left his footprints in almost every part of the country, delivering flyers from his motorbike. He printed tens of thousands of newsletters to seek help from relatives, friends, the police across China. And the police used technology to extrapolate what his son might look like as an adult. And then they searched their databases, and after clues, it narrowed down the search. And they took some DNA samples from a group of young men. This man had been searching for 24 years. So he started when he was 51, he's now 75. And after 24 years, this determined father was reunited with his son. They made a movie about it, you can watch it. Subi Church is in the people finding business. Is that right? Our task is to search for the spiritually lost and to bring them in. But our task doesn't end there. Those that we bring in, we are to build up to spiritual maturity. There is no more urgent mission. And it's a massive mission. Where would you start? Well, Subi Church has articulated our task a number of years ago, you'll remember, through our 2050 vision, Bless. This broad vision was developed by the leadership team under our previous senior pastor, Ben Johnston. And if you don't remember what it is, we have a 25-second video that will help you remember. Anyone remember that? Yeah. So this is a very broad vision, and Pastor Ben always said that as a church, we would begin broad, but then we would narrow that vision down over time. And I'm going to attempt to do that today. We are going to cast our vision for 2024. This is our vision weekend. But my goal is less about communicating my vision for Subi Church and more about helping you see Jesus' vision for your life. It's an opportunity for you to look through spiritual binoculars to your future and picture what you want it to be. So that's where we're going this evening. There are 3 points today. The first one is this. Drop everything for Jesus' mission. It's extraordinary how easy it is to lose direction in life. If you are only a fraction a degree off course, you will soon find yourself nowhere near your intended destination. Am I right? And the longer you travel on that course, the further off course you are going to be. We as a church need to have crystal clarity about what we are trying to achieve. What is the outcome that we are pursuing? Is our goal, is it maintenance or is it mission? I see, despite good intentions, the busyness of life, the pressures of life, they seem to drag the church towards a maintenance mentality. Have you noticed that? It's hard work to get something new up and running. It's much easier just to keep things the way they were. Maintenance mode is the mindset that our goal is just to maintain the status quo, just to keep the wheels of church going. You know, hatches, matches, dispatches. That's a low bar. The bar Jesus sets for us is much higher. The goal that we are to pursue is not something that we devise for ourselves. It's something that the Lord Jesus has given to us, and Jesus left us in no doubt as to what it is. We don't need to wonder what it is. We don't need to speculate about its nature. Jesus is very clear. We heard it in our Bible reading. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." They are Jesus' marching orders. This is the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great omission. It's the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, bring in and build up disciples in increasing number. Bring in and build up disciples in increasing number. Now, the mountain that Jesus gave his marching orders was most likely Mount Arbel. Has anyone been there? No? If you've been on the Israel trip, I would have been there, but the trip got cancelled. So Mount Arbel. That's where he gave his marching orders. And Mount Arbel looks over Galilee. Galilee means circle of nations. Galilee was a mixture of people groups. You had conservative Jewish areas. You had Greek pagan cities. And from this vantage point, the disciples would have had a panoramic view of the people that Jesus was calling them to go to. And they would have had a view of the roads that went further afield to the nations that Jesus was calling them to. Can you imagine Jesus standing there on the mountain with the disciples saying, "That's where I want you to go. I want you to bring in and build up disciples in increasing number. They are my marching orders." Now just have a look at that mission. In increasing number. Just ponder on that metric for a moment. At present in Australia, 3% of Australians are in Bible-believing churches. That means there's a lot of people who are not. There's a lot of people in Australia. Who knows the exact number? Well over 90% of people in Australia are far from God. And according to Jesus, where are they going? They're heading to hell unless they hear about Jesus' salvation and throw themselves on his mercy. Do you feel the weight of that? Do you feel the weight of that? Unless that grips our hearts, we won't pay attention to how we can change that statistic. An increasing number means we don't just ask the question, are we being faithful? We ask the question, are we being fruitful? Are we making a difference? Are we making progress? Now, in life, we measure things that we love, don't we? When you have a baby, everyone measures the baby. How much does the baby weigh is the first question you ask. We measure things that we love. We don't say, I don't know what the measurements were. It looked okay. Do we? No, we measure the baby. We love them too much not to count them. We count the things we love. We love the things we count. I wanted to show you another one. No need, really. I just wanted to get you on my side. It's a beautiful photo. But as a baby grows older, we continue, don't we? We continue to measure. Because we measure the things we love. We love the things we measure. Last year at Subi Church, we had 25 baptisms. I grieve that there weren't 26. I rejoice that there was more than 24. And we evaluate what we can do to have more than 25 baptisms in 2024. Because our aim is to bring in and build up disciples in increasing number. The church in maintenance mode says, we ran the evangelism course. The church on mission mode says, we ran the course. How did we go? Can we do it better? How many more can we run? The church in maintenance mode says, this is how we've always done it. The church on mission says, why not do it this way? We have 52% of our members in small groups. We have about a third of all the church in small groups. If we believe that being part of a loving community, a small group community, is essential to becoming a mature disciple, then how can we get the percentage to 90%? It's love that leads us to be focused on outcomes. We can't control outcomes. God does that. The Holy Spirit does that. But the scriptures are clear that we can influence outcomes. There was a teacher, and he placed on a table in front of his class a big glass jar. And then he placed in the jar, one by one, fist-sized rocks. Put them in the jar until he couldn't fit any more in the jar. And he said to his class, is the jar full? And they all said, yes, 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 the jar's full. He said, really? From under the table, he picked up a container of gravel. And he poured the gravel into the jar. And the gravel found their way down to the bottom and in between the spaces of the rocks. He said to the class, now is the jar full? They said, yes, yes, yes. He said, really? He went under the table. He got out a container of sand. And he poured the sand into the glass jar. And the sand found its way between the spaces of the rocks and the gravel. He said, now is the jar full? They said, yes, the jar's full. He said, really? And he went down from under the table and he got a container of water and he filled the jar to the brim. He said, unless you put the big rocks in first, you won't get them in. Right? If you put the gravel in first and then you put the sand in and then you put the water in, are you going to get all the rocks in? You're not. Jesus' mission has to be the first rock in our jar. This is because Jesus' mission requires great energy and commitment, and it's very difficult to maintain the energy required when there are competing priorities. We fall into maintenance mode, and then Jesus' mission doesn't fit. Without the priority of Jesus' mission, churches tend to implode, they collapse in on themselves, and if the energy is not spent making disciples, it's spent getting the specks of dust out of our brother's eyes or some other equally unworthy task. If we're in maintenance mode, we may as well be in spiritual palliative care. At Subi Church, do we want to be in maintenance mode or do we want to be on mission? The mission is too important. The stakes are too high. We can't settle for maintenance mode. We need to drop everything for Jesus' mission. Second point, commit to the five. You're probably thinking, what's the five? Good. Keep listening. The goal of bringing in and building up disciples to increasing number, the goal of that is to produce, to make mature disciples of every one of you, of every one of us, to make mature disciples, to make fully devoted disciples. That's the aim. We don't want to be kicking tires and just treading water spiritually, do we? We want to be mature. That's the aim. What does a mature disciple look like, if you had to describe one? Well, in the scriptures, we see that mature disciples have five characteristics. Now, if you had to fill in the five, what would you come up with? As we look at the five, use them as a spiritual checkup to see how you stack up. Do you want to be a mature disciple? Yeah? Well, let's look at the five characteristics that the scriptures tell us we need to have. A mature disciple, see if you can guess ahead of time what they are. A mature disciple is deep in the word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mature disciple, they know God's word, they're soaked in it, and they build their lives on it. And the word is the foundation of a mature disciple, which is why it's on the base of the diagram. It is the root from which all the other fruits of discipleship stem. Secondly, a mature disciple loves God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Being deep in the word leads to a love of God. A love of God in our adoration, in our prayer, in our obedience. Is Jesus' name to your soul like honey to your lips? Is your relationship with him more precious than gold? Thirdly, a mature disciple lives in deep community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. A mature disciple is not a lone ranger. They are deeply integrated into the people of God. They belong. They're known by others. They know others. They care for others. Fourthly, a mature disciple serves others. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As you mature as a Christian, you become more like Jesus, don't you? And what did Jesus do? He served others to the point of death. And finally, a mature disciple is on mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. As you mature as a Christian, you become more like Christ, and you will embrace his heart for the lost. You'll labor for Christ in the fields which are ripe for harvest. You won't be content to stay in the barn. So a mature disciple has all five of these characteristics. Not three, not four, all five. None of the five are optional extras. Some people go to the gym, and if you notice, they just do the upper body. They don't do any legs. If you notice people that do that, yeah? What do they look like? Do not skip leg day. There you go. Right? They look stunted. They have stunted growth. They are misshapen. If you went to the gym and you only did one side of your body, right? You would look misshapen. You would be stunted. In the same way, we need to be built up in all five of the characteristics. All five of them, or we will be spiritually misshapen. We'll be spiritually stunted. Spiritually, we will look like that guy, right? Spiritually speaking. We need all five of those characteristics to be mature because, I mean, is it possible to love God and not love your neighbor? Is it possible to love God and not also long for the lost to come in? Can you belong to God's church without serving his people? So if there are five characteristics of a mature disciple, then it follows that the church must be committed to equipping everyone in the church to develop these five characteristics. That's the leadership's role. That's the church's role. Therefore, we need to structure and organize what we do around these five tasks. Invest personnel, time, money, resources into all of them. And that's what we intend to do in the coming days. It's helpful to think of the church as an ecosystem where all the parts are interconnected and interdependent. The five tasks benefit each other and help each other. For example, if you want to develop a deep trust in the Word, that happens in multiple ways. It happens as we hear it preached in church. It happens as we hear it read in church. It happens as we sing the truth of God's words. It happens as we read it on our own. It happens as we're part of a loving community and a small group, as we put the word into practice by serving. It happens as we step out in faith to share the word with a non-Christian friend. All of these different pieces work together. As they all work together, a deep trust in the word grows. So the five outcomes, they're interdependent and they're interconnected. And they work together to produce mature disciples of Christ. That's why we need to develop all five. That's why the church needs to equip us in all five. Finally, answer the call. Take a moment to look into the spiritual mirror. Each one of you, look in the spiritual mirror. Are you spiritually mature? Are you a fully devoted follower of Christ? How many characteristics of a mature disciple? How many of the five characteristics of a mature disciple are you exhibiting in your life? All five? Great. Four, three, two, one, none. A mature disciple has all five characteristics, not three, not four, five. And it's our role as in the church to help you develop those characteristics. The Holy Spirit works in you to develop these characteristics. None of the five are optional extras. Now, which of the five represents an opportunity for you this year to develop? What area do you see yourself developing this year? What might God be calling you to commit to in 2024? You don't want to be kicking tires spiritually. You don't want to be treading water. You want to be growing, don't you? You want to be, you know, you haven't got time to kick tires. You want to be developing in your spiritual life. What might God be calling you to develop in this year? To grow deeper in the Word, to grow deeper in your love for God, in your prayer life, to join a small group so you can be part of God's community, be passionate to seek and save the lost, to give yourself to serve. Maybe it's time for some of us to climb off the bench and to get in the game. Imagine what our church would look like if every person who called Subi Church home made a deep commitment to these five characteristics. Imagine what impact our church would have on each other, on the community, on the city. If you committed to all five, that's my vision for each one of you. That's my vision for Subi Church. That's Jesus' vision for each one of you. It's Jesus' vision for Subi Church. Drop everything for Jesus' mission. Commit to the five. Answer the call. And together we'll bring in and we'll build up disciples in increasing number. That is Christ's call for us. What is your next step? What might God be prompting you to commit to today? Amen. I'm going to give you a moment now just to answer that very question between you and the Lord. Father, we know the Lord Jesus has given us our marching orders. The Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great omission. And I pray, Lord, that we would answer his call. Pray for each person here today. Lord, with all the different ways that you've wired people, the opportunities you've given them, the gifts that you've given them, I just pray, Lord, in the way that you've made them, that they would give themselves to your great commission in whatever way that might look like. Lord, it's not a low bar, it's a high bar. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would seriously consider how you would have us to be part of that this year in 2024. And Father, we long to be mature disciples. I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives so that we would become mature disciples. And I pray, as far as it depends upon us, that we might work on these five areas. Those areas that we're weak in, I pray, Lord, that we would work on them. We don't want to be misshapen. We don't want to be spiritually stunted. And I pray, Lord, as a church, as we all commit to these five characteristics, that we might have such an impact on each other, on our community, on our city. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to have communion. So let us take a moment just to reflect on what the Lord Jesus has done. we heard during our talk, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Jews were waiting for a victorious Messiah to come, a warrior, one who would free them from their oppressors. They did not realize that the Christ came to free them from their greatest oppression, which was sin, and it required him to die and to give himself as a ransom, and he did. Because he came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save you and I. And so as we take of the bread and as we take of the cup, let us remember the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for you and for me. The King of the universe came not to be served, but to serve, even to the point of death. Let us eat and drink and be thankful and throw ourselves on the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I ask you to stand. Please stand. And we will take of the bread and we'll take of the cup. Come and grab them. Hold on to them. We'll take them together in just a few moments. First few rows, please come forward. Son of Man came to serve and give his life as a ransom for you and for me. You and I are saved because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you, Jesus.
like to invite Sean come. Oh, here he is. My name is Tracy Johnston, and I'm part of the Connect team here at Subi Church. And if you'd like to get connected in, please come and talk to me after the service. Well, it's my privilege this evening to interview Sean, so put him on the hot seat. No, not really. But the first question I have for Sean tonight is, what are your hopes and dreams for Subi Church, and what do you want to see Subi Church look like in the future?
You have learned a good thing, not to give the mic to someone else, because it might take control over the whole thing. Before I answer that, I just want to say, make a comment that I've seen a lot of old faces here through the door today, and those I haven't seen for a long time. And I just want to welcome you back to our family here, and don't sneak away, stay back and have a chat with some of the staff and elders here. As we embarked in this journey, charting the future of Subi Church, it's very important for us to establish a very clear vision. This will guide us, but however we recognize the transition of this vision into reality is going to take the effort of all of us, not just some of us. Mm. If we continue to think that it's the staff, it's the elders, it's the volunteers that is going to do the work, that's very wrong. It's all of us that's going to be doing that. For the last couple of years, we have been very intentionally spent much time looking into inwardly. As we transit into a new phase as a family in Subi Church, having heard what Pastor David has shared with us today about the vision of Subi Church, it's not only time for us to strengthen our foundation that we have, but also to establish new ones. For over 125 years, Subi Church have made a strong presence in Subiaco here. We have witnessed, our church have witnessed various renovation and rebuilding efforts. Our steadfast commitment to uphold His word has sustained us that period of time. Yet we acknowledge that there is constraint for us. We're only on a very small plot of land here. How far can we grow? How far can we bring this church to the next level? It is my aspiration. So before you send an email to the church to say, what about the other's aspiration? This is my aspiration. It's to focus and nurture the next wave of disciples, leveraging the resources that we have in Subi Church, such as Subi Future. If you do not know what Subi Future is, come and see me. I'll explain a bit more. Subi Future can use to be cultivate individuals who can extend our reach beyond Subiaco. This disciple then, empowered by the Subi Church support, will be equipped and to establish new churches and share the gospel in areas where that's most needed. You probably agree that there's a parts of Perth. Perth is not a big place, but yet it is big. There's part of Perth that is probably not rich. And we have the privilege to be able to do that. We understand that maturing disciples does not simply mean that the person will just appear in front of us. It has to be intentionally developed within our ministry. Starting from a children ministry to the youth, to the young adults, to the home group, the small groups, and the rest of the ministry works that we have. It's imperative that we identify all these gaps and appoint faithful leaders to guide these vital ministries. That's my aspiration.
Thank you, Sean. And the second question is, how can the elders of Subi Church support the pastor to achieve this vision?
And again, there will be probably many ways of doing this. On the top of my head, the four things that I think that is best that we do it and how we can do it is, that, first of all, prayer, spiritual guidance. We as elders are committed to be praying for the pastor, for the congregation and all the staff and in the church to work towards the vision of the church. We want to establish clear communication with the pastors and the staff team so that we can actually see how we can actually work together and leave nothing aside, leave nothing behind. That could be feedback sessions. It could be just to help us to be making sure that the vision has been set and aligned as we go. Resources. We can allocate a lot of resources, identify whether it's going to be human resources or financial resources or even material resources that we can actually be formalizing. Also, programs such as the deacon program that we have, we want to be intentional about this year to formalize the deacon program to help the church function. The elders has also spoken about be intentional about aligning ourselves. Individual elders will be aligned to different ministry in the church so that we can actually be on the ground. One of the things that we probably haven't done well in the past is leadership development. Leadership could mean pastoral staff, it could mean volunteers, it could mean the deacons. And these are the people that we have used, but yet not developed them well enough. And we want to be intentional about this and setting up programs that we can actually help to bring them to the next level so that they are not using their own power, but depend on the power of the Lord. Together, we have to do it. Not just some of us, together we have to do it. And I say that with my heart, and the elders is committed to it, and my family is committed to it. Any less is not acceptable.
Thank you, Sean, and continue to pray for our elders. And Sean will always be available to chat. He'll be in the foyer after the service, but thank you.
Good evening, Church. We now have the great privilege of again drawing near to our gracious God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, we do draw near to you through our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come before you with joy because you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and yet you are close to every one of us. Thank you for your great salvation through Jesus. What you have done for us, you have forgiven our disobedience. You've put our sin out of your sight. You've cleared us from guilt. You've nailed the record of the charges against us to the cross of Christ, and you have exchanged our sin for his righteousness. So in the light of your love and grace, please grant that we may trust you more and more and keep turning to you with our whole heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your great love for us, so high, so deep, so long, so wide. May your love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so that we will love one another in deed and truth. Thank you so much for the word that we have heard today. It truly was better than food. It has brought life to our souls. We thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you, to seek first the kingdom of God, to take the gospel into the whole world. We thank you that you've brought the world to us. We thank you that we have ministries who are reaching people with the gospel. But we pray for more. We pray that this year these ministries will bring in and build up disciples in ever-increasing numbers. We pray for all the ministries of the church, that the Holy Spirit will indeed bring life to all, that we may reach out to people with the gospel in the name of Jesus. We pray that we will become mature, fully devoted disciples, and that we will answer your call upon our lives as we look outward. Indeed, Lord Jesus, when we take your yoke upon us, it is easy and your burden is light. You are our master, but you are our kind and loving master. We pray that the Holy Spirit may mobilize the church across Australia to reach those great numbers of people who are far from God. We pray for your guidance, strength, and protection for the ministries, for the missionaries whom we support as they labor in different countries. Please give us the vision that you want us to have. And at the end of this year, may we look back and say, O Lord our God, what great things you have accomplished in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let's stand and let's sing this last song together.
Yeah.
If you'd like some prayer, there will be opportunity for prayer down the front here. We're doing things slightly differently tonight. We've given you a early mark. If you have children, please go and collect them. You have an opportunity. We are going to have a Q&A time now, if you would like to come back and have that Q&A time. If you would like to go, you might do that as well. But if there are questions of clarification or you'd like to dig a bit deeper to what I've spoken about tonight, there's going to be an opportunity to do that right now. So get your kids, come back. Let me finish with the benediction. Father, I pray for each precious person that is here today, that you might work powerfully in their lives, that your Holy Spirit might move deeply in their lives, that you might make each one of us a fully devoted follower of yours as you desire us to be. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week, or I might see you in a couple of moments.